reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Amaziah, priest of Bethel, said to Amos, "Off with you, visionary, flee to the land of Judah. There earn your bread by prophesying, but never again prophesy in Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and a royal temple." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores. The Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" Verbum Domini. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. In love he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace, that he granted us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgressions, in accord with the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, in accord with his favor, that he set forth in him as a plan for the fullness of times, to sum up all things in Christ, in heaven and on earth. In him we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory. We who first hoped in Christ. In him you also have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him. We're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the first installment of our inheritance, toward redemption as God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them.
Verbum Domini.
We have a lot to pray for today. Of course, we pray for former President Trump and all those who were injured in the shooting yesterday. And we pray for those who were killed, for the repose of their souls, and particularly pray for peace in our country and peace throughout the world. There are many troubled areas, right? Peace in the Middle East and the Holy Land, peace between Ukraine and Russia, and just that the Lord may give us all an abundance of his peace. The world desperately needs it. We also pray for the repose of the soul of Theodore Clues, who is the father of our own choir director and organist, Derek Clues. We learned recently his father passed away. We pray for the repose of his soul as well as the soul of Fern Hale, whom Father Joseph mentioned a few days ago. She was a regular. She came to Mass here often for many, many years and will be buried today. Her funeral's also today. So again, a lot to bring to our prayers, to bring to this Mass. But looking at our first reading today, we see a conflict. It opens with a conflict between Amaziah the priest and the temple of Bethel and the prophet Amos. Amaziah is trying to drive Amos out. He's trying to drive him out of the temple precincts for prophesying against the royal house of King Jeroboam, who is ruler of the northern tribes of Israel. And just a few verses before today's reading begins, the priest Amaziah sent a message to the king, warning the king about this troublemaker, warning him about Amos. He told the king, "Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land." That is not a comfortable message. So after Amaziah warns the king, then he goes directly and confronts Amos the prophet. He says, "Off with you, visionary, flee to the land of Judah. There earn your bread by prophesying. But never again prophesy in Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and a royal temple." In other words, return to your own land. You're an outsider here. You're from the south. Go back to the south. Earn your living there by being a prophet. We don't want your messages here. We don't want your troublemaking here. So first of all, Amaziah refers to the Temple of Bethel as the king's sanctuary. This was a privileged place. And it's referring to a decision made by King Jeroboam I to designate Bethel and Dan as alternate temples to Jerusalem. King Jeroboam I had set up golden calves at these temples, which is not a good thing. That's idolatry. So 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28 gives us some context for this. When it says, "So the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. And he said to the people, 'You have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to the one at Bethel and to the other one as far as Dan." So that's the context for today. And then Amos is sent out to preach against this grave sin, this idolatry, to warn them about the coming punishment if they don't repent. And Amaziah tells them to get lost, to go back home. You're not welcome here. Amos responds by telling him that he doesn't make a living by prophesying. That's what Amaziah is accusing him of. Go make your living preaching in the south, where you're from. And Amos says, "I'm not a prophet. I haven't been trained in this field. I'm not a professional. I don't do this for a living to make money." He said, "I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores." Again, he's not doing this for financial gain. He's a simple shepherd, and he tends to sycamore trees. And the key point is what Amos says next. He says, "The Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.'" So it doesn't matter what Amaziah or the king or the Israelites think about Amos or his message. Amos is saying, "God took me. He compelled me to go and to preach this message to you." And Amos was compelled to give it, no matter how uncomfortable the message was. We can think of Jeremiah when he described what was taking place interiorly when he felt compelled to preach what God had given to him. Jeremiah said, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." So similarly with Amos, God compelled him to preach this message of conversion, of repentance to the Israelites. And likewise, the message of the gospel, it cannot be confined, it cannot be withheld or imprisoned. It must be preached. It does come across opposition. Remember, the Lord said clearly, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them all that I have observed, all that I have commanded you. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you." So the church gives us this reading today about the simple shepherd and dresser of sycamore trees. who's called by God to preach this message of conversion and repentance. And the church pairs that with the gospel that we heard when the Lord commissions the 12, who were likewise not professional prophets, they're simple men, and calls them to go out and preach the gospel, the saving message of the gospel, to preach repentance and conversion, to lead others to salvation. An important point we know, though, is that before the Lord sent them out to preach, St. Mark tells us three chapters before the reading we just heard today from Mark 6. In Mark chapter 3, St. Mark says that the Lord called the 12 to be with him, and then he sent them out, right? That first they spent time with him. He taught them about the kingdom of God. He taught them how to pray. They saw him perform miracles. And also, very importantly, they saw how he responded to opposition, right? And so they were likewise to follow his example. So this is what we're given today. And as he sends them out to preach, what was needed to make their efforts successful? Not much. And he said, take nothing with you on your journey. Take nothing but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. So they're being challenged not to rely upon themselves, not to rely upon their own resources, but to trust completely in God, completely in God's providence. And their simplicity of life, it would free them from distraction. It would help them keep focused on the mission, the message that the Lord was giving them, that he was entrusting to them. And their simplicity of life would also add credibility to their message, right? It would make it clear that they were not doing this for financial gain, material gain. They were truly concerned for the truth and to help lead others to salvation, to heaven. Pope St. Gregory the Great commented on the significance of our Lord sending them out two by two, as we heard in the gospel today. Why did the Lord send them out in pairs? Well, the fact that they were sent out in pairs would emphasize that the followers of Christ must live out what's called the twin precepts of charity, right? The love of God and the love of neighbor. Not just preaching love God and love neighbor, but if they were going out in pairs, they'd have to show that. They would have to be patient with the weaknesses of the other apostle that they were paired with. They'd have many opportunities to go out of themselves to serve the needs of that other apostle that they were paired with. Again, so they wouldn't just be preaching the message, they would be living it as they were preaching it. And that adds power to the gospel when we see it's lived out. And when they would experience rejection to the message of the gospel, which certainly would happen and did happen, our Lord told them simply, shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. So simply move on. Don't let it destroy your peace. So I'm reminded of the story of St. Benedict, who we just celebrated his feast a few days ago. Remember the story of when the monks that he was leading didn't want anything to do with him, and they tried to poison him, to kill him. And Pope St. Gregory the Great, who recounts this story, gives the reaction of St. Benedict after he blessed the glass of wine and it shattered. He didn't lose his temper. He didn't yell at them or scold them. He simply said, as St. Gregory says, he got up from the table with a calm expression and without any agitation, saying, may God Almighty have pity on you, my brothers. Go and seek an abbot who suits your ways. And then he left. And when asked why St. Benedict would abandon these monks, these brothers, when he was a saint, he could have stayed and tried to help their conversion along. St. Gregory said that often in the lives of the saints, when they saw that their efforts were fruitless, they move elsewhere to find more fruitful work, right? So we're reminded of our Lord's own example again. That he's often going from town to town, and sometimes he doesn't spend a lot of time because of the hardness of their hearts, right? That he preached the message and then he moved on, especially if it was not bearing fruit in their lives, if their hearts were not open. So likewise, our Lord instructed the apostles, if they reject you in the message of the gospel, shake the dust from your feet and move on. It's also in today's gospel passage from St. Mark that we hear about the apostles anointing the sick with oil. It's the apostles themselves anointed the sick with oil. And St. James, one of the 12, would write more explicitly about this in his letter when he says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. So we thank God for the gift of this great sacrament that the Lord himself has instituted and given us to the church, that bestows spiritual healing and comfort to the sick, and at times has also bestowed physical strength and healing. And one final point to mention about today's readings is we are reminded about the purpose of our lives, the meaning of our lives. And that's what St. Paul says in his second, in his letter that we heard in the second reading today. And it's not an easy reading. It can be very complicated, but very simply in the midst of that, of what God reveals through the writings of St. Paul, is that we were chosen by God to give him glory, right? So that we might exist for the praise of his glory. So our lives are not meaningless. Our lives are not pointless. We exist for the praise and the glory of God, right? To do everything we do for his honor and glory, and to make him better known and loved.